Welcome everyone to the Discover Hope podcast. I'm Jake Kimmett here with Joel Strahan and Alan Sumner, and we're just here to talk to you. Just reach out to our church family about what's going on. So far during these podcasts, we've either been answering a question or talking about a topic, but we decided to do something a little bit differently today. We're just going to have a completely off-the-cuff conversation just about what's going on in our lives, what's going on in the world. Joel and Alan have absolutely no idea what's going to be asked or what's going on. We're just going to let the conversation flow like it would normally. So just imagine that you are here in the room with us, and we're just catching up like old friends.
So I love how you said we decided, because the way I remember it is that you decided.
That's right.
You know, which is usually how things go around here. Anyway.
Now, for those of you who've never worked closely with Joel before, he is notorious about he wants to cast a vision, but he is not going to make you do anything. And so he'll say, hey, why don't you host a podcast? But then I get to make all the decisions for how it works. Same thing with worship. He'll be like, hey, Alan, this is what I'm preaching on. Make the worship service. He is probably the most easygoing boss I've ever had. Even though he hates the fact I just called him a boss, he is grimacing and
I wish you could see that expression on his face,
clenching his teeth because you know.
I'm thinking right now I'm going to delete this part.
You're going to delete this part. You should know it. It stays. It's on there.
I have one burning question for you. Did you find what you were looking for at the store yesterday?
I did not find what I was looking for at Walmart. Me and Lindsay had put off going grocery shopping for a while because we had a stockpile of toilet paper. And so we're like, we can wait a little bit. But I bit the bullet and I went to Walmart. And they had carts lined up on the inner and exit, like the entrances. Like, this is, you can only enter here, you can only exit there. And there was a line to get in because they were making people stay 6 feet and wait in. And I got into Walmart and they had some things in abundance, but every single thing that I actually needed, completely bare. I couldn't even buy sandwich meat. Like, the whole wall, I took a picture with my phone, sent it to Lindsay as proof of why I didn't buy any lunch meat. Because I was like, I got to show her. And she also said, hey, get some cleaning stuff, you know, running cleaning stuff, basic cleaning supplies. The whole section, here's like, if it was something that doesn't actually disinfect, but just makes it smell good, they had it. They had all kinds of scents and stuff. But the actual bleach, Clorox, like, let's get some chemicals, stuff. The powerful stuff, the good stuff, it was all completely empty. It was all completely empty.
Wow.
I've had the same experience. Carol and I both have been worried about running out of toilet paper. Mm-hmm. We always buy it at Sam's. We get the big bulk pack, you know, and we've always got plenty. And then this hit, and, well, we got plenty, but I'm not sure we've got plenty now. In fact, I went to Sam's the other day expecting to get some, and they're still bare.
Yeah.
But we were outside waiting to get in. I waited like 20 minutes to get in the store because they're only letting 10 or 12 in at a time, and you have to wait till somebody comes out before they let a new wave go in. And it was just really strange, and people behind me were complaining about it, and I thought, if you get that virus, this is going to seem small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For what you're doing.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, you know. A lot of folks think there's, you know, no big deal to this thing, you know, and life goes on as usual, and what you're seeing is yeah, life is going on as usual for folks until they get the virus. Once they get the virus, everything changes, and it's kind of interesting to me. I'm on the other side of this coin, guys. Back in December, I started preparing for this thing because I saw it happening in China, and I made some, you know, I made some financial decisions in December, and then in January I started making other decisions, telling Heather to go to the store and buy about a month's worth of emergency, you know, food and all that kind of stuff, and told her to buy toilet paper. So here's the deal. I have had a lot of fun telling folks, look, you need toilet paper? I've got some. I'll sell it to you for $30. And Jake, since you're in need of bleach right now and can't get it at Walmart, I want you to know I've got bleach. And what would you say is a fair price now that you're desperate? $120
what Joel is doing right now, this is called price gouging, and it is illegal.
This is the American way.
It is illegal.
Free economy. Yeah.
Everybody makes fun of me for being a prepper. I'd never heard that term before. Somebody called me a prepper the other day, and I said, well, yeah, if being prepared for things is called being a prepper, then yeah, I'm a prepper. When I was, you know, younger, people would call me preppy, but, you know, preppy, prepper, you know, I'll be a prep when I become a senior adult.
Well, yeah, it kind of reminds me of, like, imagine if you lived in a village, and there's like a dam, you know.
I'm not sure you can say that on our podcast.
An actual stopping a river. All right, and there's one crazy person in the town that's like, "What if the dam bursts? What if the dam bursts?" Every day, and everyone else in the town is like, "Oh, that's Joel. He's
crazy Joe.
That's crazy. Don't worry about him. He's been gone." That's the way I was feeling for a while with Joel, and I was like, "Okay, we're fine. Okay," and now I'm like, he's not right all the time, but when he's right about something big.
Yeah, that's the thing about preppers. You know, we're wrong 99% of the time. It's that 1% that we're right that everybody wished they were a prepper.
That's right. I'll tell you something that they were actually missing at the store, and I was surprised by it, and it was frozen vegetables. Like, wow. That come in little steam bags, and I wondered, why is it that they were missing it? So, yeah, I looked it up. For those of you who don't know, if there's ever anything that I don't know, I just immediately look it up. That's just my personality. So I look up why.
If you're over the age of 50, he means looking it up on Google.
That's right. I bust out my phone. I use all modern technology, and I find that answer. And as it turns out, people are not wanting to buy the fresh produce and vegetables because they think someone could have coughed on that. But if it's frozen, it's clean, it's sanitary. So they're buying the frozen, all the frozen vegetables and the frozen fruit, like the little, like diced pineapple. They're buying out all those things and they're trying to keep them restocked. So there were some frozen vegetables I had on that list to get, and I was unable to get frozen vegetables, and I was very upset about that.
Wow. Well, Heather's actually going today to Kroger. She had the online order experience, and so we'll see how that goes. She got an online order pickup from Costco the other day, and it turned out decent. It's a good thing to point out at our church, if you are in a situation, high risk situation, you don't need to get out. We have many volunteers that will go to the store for you. Mm-hmm. Just yesterday, I got word that one of our members needed sharp cheddar cheese, a block of sharp cheddar cheese. Mm-hmm. And so that is going to be obtained and delivered today. Mm-hmm. If it is in the store. So I think that's really neat. And it's fun right now, and we're kind of laughing about, you know, things. I think it's neat to watch the church respond to crisis. And in every generation, whatever the crisis was, the church has responded in ways that value relationship and human life. And mm-hmm. and it's been really comical to me to watch, you know, where folks come up with these organizations where they're going to help people and they're going to give to the poor or they're going to provide for senior adults and yada yada yada, and I just think to myself, like, this is amazing. If everybody who is lost realizes that they are now deciding to obey Jesus because it was God's idea in the very beginning to do these kinds of things for each other, if they realize like they have started obeying Jesus, I wonder if it would, I don't know, I wonder if it would make a difference in their hearts. Does that make sense? I mean,
yeah. Well, a pushback on that, though, is I think some people really have a desire to help out, but they don't know how to help out, and so they're helping out in ways that are often confusing. I've seen some ideas where I thought that's not gonna help anyone. I'm not gonna use any specific names, but I know of a church. I know specifically of a student pastor who had this wonderful idea about how they were gonna help the people in their community, and he said, "We're gonna get all of the youth, all the students gathered, and we're gonna get all the church, and we're gonna have them cook a bunch of meals, and then we're gonna have the whole youth group go and deliver all the meals to all of the older folks in the church." And normally that would be a wonderful, awesome idea if there wasn't a pandemic going on. And so if you break it down and say, okay, so you want to take all of the people that could have the virus and not know it and put them all in one place, have them prepare food, and then as a whole group, take all of the people that could have the virus and don't know it and take them to all of your high-risk people, bringing of all things food so they can't clean or disinfect the food in case it had something. And so it's one of those things where I think all of us are trying to figure out how do we respond and how do we serve our community. And I think one of the good things about the Bible is that when God is detailing how to serve, he doesn't say, listen, you need to create another organizational arm and need to have this specific program. Specifically, he's like, no, you just need to love your neighbor as yourself. And mm-hmm. Here's what that means.
Amen.
When I run out of sharp cheddar cheese, I will go to the store and buy sharp cheddar cheese. So when my neighbor, who should not go out, runs out of sharp cheddar cheese, if I want to love them as myself, I should go buy them sharp cheddar cheese. It's that simple.
So what you're saying right now is that I should give you some bleach.
I was hoping to get around to that. Yes.
Well, I just wonder if you can say sharp cheddar cheese like six times in a row without messing it up.
I don't want to do it. I'll probably
mess it up.
Well, I think kind of tying a bow around everything. There's been a verse that I've been meditating on the last few days, and just waking up every day with the feeling of just, people are dying. More people have died now in the United States than we lost it in 9/11. Hmm. 9/11 was the cataclysmic event of my life. I went to the 9/11 Museum in New York City this January. And at one point in that museum, I just fell down on the floor and just cried uncontrollably. I had had enough of it, just the devastation, the loss of life. This time that we're going through now, it's not because someone hates us and has tried to destroy us. It's a pandemic. It's a protein that has a layer of fat around it. And when it enters the human body, it wreaks havoc. But every day I've just kind of gotten up and just thought, man, what do I look forward to today? Today's going to be the same. How do I plan for next month? How do I even think about next month? But Psalm 94:19 says this, in all of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. And, I've found it to really be true during this time that there are many anxieties within me, many, even if I try to hide them. But the Lord's delights comfort my soul. What are His delights? Mm-hmm. His people, prayer, His word. The amazing gift of praising Him through song,
yeah.
Giving Him thanks during mm-hmm. song, and all of those things, those are what is bringing me joy during these days.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because they're disciplines. We have to do them. But I'm finding during this time, when I do them, I'm having joy. Now, I don't have anxiety over toilet paper right now. I don't have anxiety over bleach. I don't have anxiety over frozen vegetables. Mm-hmm. But I do have a lot of other anxieties that are there. They're around every corner.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this time where the Lord is teaching us to depend on Him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a similar experience yesterday. I was kind of down and trying to figure out where I'm going, what to do, and all of that, and just was getting lower and lower and lower, and I finally just got up out of the chair, quit looking at the computer, went and got my guitar, and Amen. Started playing songs for Sunday, and just playing through Sunday's set, mm-hmm. and suddenly I began to brighten up, feel better. Mm-hmm. I don't know, had a sense of peace, and so I think our praise and worship, you're exactly right, it does that for us. Mm-hmm. So we keep those disciplines going.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. This will be a little ironic to some of our hearers, but the sermon last Sunday night was a little bit about end times. Focus on, was it Matthew 28?
24.
I'm not good at scripture reference, by the way. I usually know the scripture, but if you say, what's the reference? I'm like, I got to look it up. Let me see. I have the
same issue.
Yeah. Well, if you hadn't said what the sermon was about, I probably would have forgotten what the sermon was
about. Matthew 24, Jesus is just talking about future things. And the disciples are like, well, you know, what we know, the signs and wonders. And he just plainly states, like, hey, listen, nations will rise against nations. You know, there will be famine and devastation, and but he said, "But don't assume that it's the end." And so, whenever I think about this, it really is that same thought of things might be looking terrible right now, but Jesus said that as a comfort to his disciples. You know, saying, and he goes later on in Matthew 24, even when you are put to death for my name, talking about how they would all become future martyrs. Like, even when you're put to death, you know, reside in that joy and that hope, because in a real way, even that is not the end of it. And so sometimes it helps me to just step back and have that perspective, you know, well, what would it look like if me and Lindsay both lost our jobs and our house and we had no savings and one of us got sick? Like, if everything seemed to fall apart, you know, what would happen next? And there is that joy and hope of, well, first of all, this life isn't all there is to it.
Yeah.
And second of all, the Lord has promised his servants that he will provide for their needs.
Amen.
Not for their wants, but you know what? I don't need everything that I want. And so sometimes for me, just taking a step back and really going through that scenario of, you know, if I lose everything, have I really lost anything worth anything? You know, on the other side of heaven, am I really going to care that much about what my bank account looks like during this period of time? So that's something that I've been telling myself and working through. Hopefully, this time has just been encouragement to you. It's been a little more loose, more freeform. But we just wanted to share, you know, what was on our hearts as we go through this time together as a church family. If you need anything, let us know if we can do anything for you, or if you know of something we can do for someone else. We're trying to love our neighbor as ourselves.
Amen.
Thank you so much, and thanks for listening to the Discover Hope podcast.
SladenBaptist.com. I think it's here to stay.
It's growing on me. It's growing on me.